This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. A few words by the Supreme Court yesterday could signal a change in the way we have interpreted the United States Constitution. For most of the past century, the courts have interpreted the constitutional right to bear arms as a collective right, meaning that it's linked to military service or state militias. But yesterday, a majority of Supreme Court justices indicated they believe the right to bear arms is an individual right, like the right of free speech or the right to be free from unreasonable searches. That intellectual distinction might have very practical effects in a city that tried to attack its high murder rate. And we have more this morning from NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Before the court was a ban on handguns in the District of Columbia, those challenging it contend it's a violation of their constitutional right to protect themselves in their homes using the easiest method of self-defense, a handgun. The last time the Supreme Court ruled at all on the right to bear arms was in 1939, when the justices upheld a federal ban on sawed-off shotguns and implied that the Founding Fathers adopted the Second Amendment to ensure that the then new federal government could not disarm state militias, hence the language of the amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Yesterday, though, a majority of the justices indicated a sharply different view from the 1939 court, an individual right view. Chief Justice Roberts.
If it is limited to state militias, why would they say the right of the people?
Justice Scalia.
But why isn't it perfectly plausible, indeed reasonable, to assume that since the framers knew that the way militias were destroyed by tyrants in the past was not by passing a law against militias, but by taking away the people's weapons. That was the way militias were destroyed. The two clauses go together beautifully.
And the justice, whose vote is widely viewed as decisive in this case, Justice Kennedy.
In effect, the amendment says we reaffirm the right to have a militia. We've established it. But in addition, there is a right to bear arms.
Four justices, a minority, indicated a more traditional view of the Second Amendment, that it was hinged to military service. Justice Souter.
In the 18th century, someone going to hunt a deer would have thought of himself as bearing arms? I mean, is that the way they'd talk?
The district argued that whether the right to bear arms is collective or personal, the right is subject to reasonable regulation. That prompted this question from Chief Justice Roberts.
What is reasonable about a total ban on possession?
Arguing for the district, former Solicitor General Walter Dellinger said the ban is reasonable in an exclusively urban area where statistics show handguns are responsible for most murders and armed assaults. What's more, he said, not all guns are banned. That prompted this question from Chief Justice Roberts.
Well, does it really make sense to say the best self-defense arm is a rifle as opposed to a pistol?
The Bush administration's chief Supreme Court advocate, Paul Clement, conceded that the right to bear arms is an individual right, but he said the court should leave considerable leeway for reasonable federal, state, and local government restrictions on that right. Without allowing such reasonable restrictions, he said, the federal ban on machine guns and possibly dozens of other federal gun laws could be invalidated, posing a significant obstacle to local law enforcement. Lawyer Alan Gura, representing those challenging the D.C. handgun ban, said the government should be able to restrict guns only if they are not appropriate for civilian use. But just what that means was unclear. Chief Justice Roberts asked whether age restrictions on guns would be okay, or trigger lock provisions.
There's always a risk that the children will get up and grab the firearm and use it for some purpose other than what the Second Amendment was designed to protect.
Lawyer Gura fudged his reply. Justice Ginsburg then asked about a ban on machine guns or license requirements.
What about a requirement that you obtain a license to have a handgun?
Justice Ginsburg, that would depend on the licensing law itself.
That prompted Justice Breyer to observe that, in his view, with so many factors and judgments to be made about what's reasonable, gun regulations are a quintessentially legislative, not a judicial function.
Do you want thousands of judges all over the United States to be deciding that kind of question rather than the city councils and the legislatures that have decided it in the context of passing laws?
A decision is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.